Rush Hour with Luke Bradnam.
The Goldies, 92.5 Triple M.
Welcome to the jungle.
Hello, everybody. Thank you for joining us on the podcast. Luke Bradnam with you. Big show today. Going to learn something about the Gold Coast that I bet you never knew. We'll get into that for you. Nick Kyrgios joins us on the show, the Savo, which is pretty cool. Tell you a unique piece of Gold Coast history with regards to the Olympic Games. Karl Stefanovic had that chick from Bunnings, pain in the ass chick from Bunnings. We'll talk about that. She is cuckoo, mate. I mean, we got to stop giving her airtime. She's not the full quid, I don't reckon. We talk strippers on the program today, which I haven't done for quite some time. Braden Murphy joins us to discuss if you're going to get caught on your mobile phone with these new rigid edge cameras they've got. Some chick from The Bachelor. I bluff my way through an interview with her, having no idea who she is or why she's famous. You know what I learned? I mean, obviously we've done the show, so I've already done the interview with her. And what I just realised, because I Googled her after I spoke to her, and I'm banging on about this bloke who's on the Bachelor in Paradise TV show, and he's absolute tool. Like, he's just, and I say to her in the interview, I say to her, what about that guy that's got the awful tattoos and he's just a dick? And what I didn't know until I Googled her after the chat is that she's got awful tattoos. She's got like full sleeve, neck tattoo. Her tats are as bad as him. And I'm bagging his tats out to her as if she's a clean skin. And the NRL coaches' salaries have been revealed. We'll run the rule over those. Look, listen to the podcast. It's a bloody good show, mate. And it's starting for you right now.
You're listening to the Rush Hour Podcast.
Live and local from Broadbeach, downtown Broadbeach, I'm sitting this afternoon. And, you know, Broadbeach is a Gold Coast suburb, as you know. Well, I learned something today. They say you learn something new every day. I learned something today by reading the paper that, quite frankly, shocked me. Piers Booth is joining us. He is on a quest to get a well-known part of the Gold Coast officially known as a suburb. Hey, Piers, how are you, mate?
Yeah, I'm really good. Enjoying the sunshine down here in beautiful Kira.
Okay, here's the deal, right? Oh, mate, yes. Piers, I had no idea that Kira, an iconic part of the Gold Coast, Kira, it turns out, is not officially a suburb of the Gold Coast.
That's absolutely right, mate. I'm sitting here, standing here overlooking Kira Beach, one of the most iconic surf breaks in the world. You know, surfed by former world champion Mick Fanning, Kelly Slater, Joel Parkinson, the list goes on. And unfortunately, it's not a legal suburb. The postcode exists, which is 4225, but Kira as a legally gazetted suburb, unfortunately, is not recognised.
So officially then, if you're standing where you are at the moment in downtown, yes, Kira, what suburb are you in on the Gold Coast officially?
Well, officially, I'm in Coolangatta.
Right, I see.
Which, okay, I have absolutely no problems with, because Coolangatta, I've just had a walk from there. Absolutely beautiful. But I bought property in Kira. I live in Kira. I've known Kira all my life. I just can't officially call it Kira.
So, mate, you're on a quest to get it officially known as a suburb on the Gold Coast. Now, here's my question for you. If we all already think that Kira is a suburb, what difference does it make if it's given official status as a suburb or not?
Okay, well, first and foremost, we look at security. We look at, say, the elder people in our community that are calling essential services and having problems getting them directed to Kira. You're calling essential services that may be sitting in Canberra or Western Australia. They have no idea where Kira is.
Really?
So a lot of cases,
right,
they think they're going to Coolangatta. If our local residents are trying to get driver's license, it says Coolangatta. It doesn't say Kira. If you're paying your Gold Coast City Council bills, they're all known as Coolangatta. I mean, you know, for safety, also for recognition for incoming tourists when they're Googling addresses in Kira straight off the plane, you know, they sometimes might end up in Coolangatta.
Amazing.
Or even Belinga.
How did it happen that Kira didn't become a suburb? So what are you doing about it, mate? How can you get this changed?
Well, mate, first and foremost, a couple of ways you can do it. We have a little down here in Kira. We have a Instagram page, which is kira.4225. There's a link in their bio. You can also go onto the state government website and look at petitions. There's a link there to just vote. It's very simple. It's open to all Queensland residents. And also our local MP here, Laura Gerber. She's been very good, and it's up on her website as well. So
okay, all right.
Three ways. And also I've got around Kira. I've been hitting the footpath, doing it the old school way. Most businesses in Kira that have been supporting us actually have one behind the counter or possibly out for people to see. So please ask all businesses in Kira to get on board or just to go in and sign it yourself.
Hey, just before we go, Piers, any yes. other suburbs that you know of that we here as residents of the coast yep. think are suburbs, but they're not officially suburbs?
Rainbow Bay, Nobby's Beach.
Nobby's Beach is Nobby's is not a suburb either.
I don't believe so.
Wow, interesting. Hey, good on you, Piers. Interesting chat, mate, and good luck with the quest. Kira should be its own suburb. If you're saying you're going to Kira, you're going to Kira. You're not going to bloody Coolangatta when you're standing on Kira. I get it, mate, and keep up the good fight.
Good on you. Thank you so much for your time. I appreciate it.
Hey, I love little things like that where you find out little bits of information about our great city that you didn't know. If you've got any more info for us, like little things like that, like he's saying Nobby's Beach is not a suburb. Rainbow Beach is not a suburb.
You're listening to the Rush Hour podcast.
I love good news stories, and there is a good news story about a apparent Australian bad boy from the world of sport, although I'm a big supporter of him. Nick Kyrgios cops a lot of stick, particularly here on the Gold Coast. I remember we did a poll on Nick Kyrgios a little while ago, and overwhelmingly people despised him. Turns out that Nick Kyrgios is actually a good bloke who's got a heart of gold, and the people that are going to benefit from that heart of gold are actually some Gold Coast kids, because he's done something to benefit the Surfers Paradise Surf Life Saving Club. And tell us about it, Zane Hamill's the head coach down there at Surfers Paradise, who's on the phone right now. G'day, Zane. How are you, mate?
Hey, Luke. Really well, mate. How are you?
Good, mate. Good. Now go on. Nick Kyrgios and the Surfers Paradise Surf Life Saving Club. What possible connection is there?
Well, in all honesty, it was a stab in the dark by the Stingrays Swimming Club, which is a great club that support our nippers.
Right.
And they wrote a letter to Nick and his management. And to their great surprise, they were receiving a signed hat, a signed shirt, and a signed pair of shorts straight from Nick Kyrgios in order to auction for support of the club, which we were amazed by and obviously so thankful for.
Yeah, I was just reading that it said that you guys were, everywhere was, doing it pretty tough during the COVID deal, and it was like, oh, let's just shot in the dark, have a crack, send something to Nick and see if we get a response. Most people probably wouldn't even reply, but he didn't get back in contact, just sent you some gear.
Exactly right. No, he sent back a little note. And,
oh, did he?
And signed off on that, and sent the gear through to be auctioned off, as I said. And yeah, the Stingrays are, they're known for thinking outside the box of ways to help out the club, and a great job here. And obviously Nick Kyrgios, a champion tennis player and a champion bloke, like you said.
Hey, thanks very much, Zane. Mate, I hate to do this to you, but I'm going to have to wrap it up there because we've just got some exciting news, and producer Jeremy's just raced into the studio. That was Zane Hamill, the head coach of the Surfers Paradise Surf Life Saving Club, talking about what Nick Kyrgios has done. Are you saying he's on the phone, Jeremy?
Mate, I've got him right now.
We've got Nick Kyrgios on the phone right now, which is very exciting for us. Nick, are you there, mate? You there, Nick?
Yeah, I'm here, bro. What's going on, bro? How are you, man?
Mate, I wanted to just get you on. We just talked to Zane Hamill there from the Surfers Paradise Surf Life Saving Club, who you've helped out. I wanted to get you on, mate. You get a bad rap when you do things out of line. Society jumps on you, but here you are doing something for the Gold Coast community, not looking for accolades, but I wanted to say on behalf of the community, well done.
Yeah, look, thanks, bro. Obviously, you know, like, kids for me, you know, like, I like the next generation, bro. Like, I want them to do well, bro. And for me, you know, giving back to the nippers, bro, it's good for me, good for them, bro. And, yeah, you know, like, obviously, bro, like, I'm really enthusiastic about the kids and shit.
And Nick, what about what you've given, mate? I mean, you're a tennis guy, but no tennis rackets, no trophies. You went straight off and gave up a whole one of your hats and a whole one of your T-shirts.
Yeah, you know, I mean, look, I've got a pretty lucrative deal with Nike, bro. You know, that much is pretty obvious. So when they're giving me heaps of free stuff, bro, it's good for me to give back, especially when I didn't pay for it myself.
Right. Good on you.
So, yeah, I mean, that's good for all the peasants.
That's great, mate. And I know that it is very much appreciated by everybody that we do here. Do you think you get a bad rap, Nick? Because there are a few people in society who don't like...
Look, I'm working on my image right now, bro. And I think I'm going the right way about it. Like, you know, anyone can see that, like, you know, that came straight from the heart, bro. Straight from the sponsorships office, straight from a box, and into the hands of these little nippers, bro. So, like, you know, like, obviously, when, like, people are looking at it from the outset like that, bro, like, I think my reputation is, like, pretty damn good, bro. Like,
absolutely.
Let's be honest, bro.
As opposed to your reputation is absolutely intact, as opposed to some of the other people from the world of tennis, because we've seen... Who's the guy that's got coronavirus at the moment?
Djokovic.
Mate, Djokovic has got the corona. Is Djokovic, he's not with you by any chance?
He's here, bro. The guy's an absolute pelican, bro. He's looking at me right now, bro.
Whack him
smell
on.
His ego from here, bro.
Can you put him on?
All right, bro.
Djokovic.
Oi, Novak, bro.
Novak.
You know, hello. It is a fantastic opportunity for me to be on your show, and I know I can feel your presence. You're smiling because you know you're in the presence of greatness.
I really am, Novak. Oh, thank you, mate. And you know what I've got to say to you, Novak, is, you know, here's an Aussie legend like Nick Kyrgios giving back to the Gold Coast community by donating some stuff to the Surfers Paradise Surf Life Saving Club. Why didn't you do something like that, Novak?
Well, you know, it's no surprise that I am very selfish.
Right.
And I only look out for me and number one, and everybody else is obviously secondary. So it is pointless for me to give back to anyone other than myself.
Good stuff, Novak. Hey, thank you so much, mate. You take it easy, get yourself well and better. We look forward to seeing both you and Nick back on the court sometime soon, mate, but we appreciate both of your time this afternoon. Thank you so much.
No problem, peasants. You have a great day.
You're listening to the Rush Hour Podcast.
Get this one. I'm doing the Coolangatta Gold. I've told you guys that. I was out training earlier today on my ski, my surf life-saving ski, which I'm very proud to say I didn't fall off once today. Round of applause, please, Brixie. Bit of enthusiasm, please. Oh, doesn't matter. I'm proud of me. Considering the first time I went out 3 weeks ago, I fell off 25 times. But oh, thank you, mate. Your fake enthusiasm is encouraging to me. But anyway, I ran into a dude and he was telling me how I didn't know this. Right now, if it wasn't for COVID, the Olympic Games would be on right now in Japan, the Tokyo Olympics. How good's this music, the Olympic theme? We should be smack bang in the middle of Olympic Games fever right now here on the Gold Coast, but because of COVID, we've got to wait until next year. And we were talking about paddling and, you know, we've had a great history of kayaking in the Olympic Games. And I started telling this guy who I ran into, because he was on his ski and I was on mine, about a great piece of Gold Coast Olympic history, which, quite frankly, I think is the greatest piece of sportsmanship I've ever heard of. It involves a Gold Coast lifesaver. And this is the best sportsmanship I've ever heard of anywhere in the world, regardless of the Olympic Games. But I'm going to tell you the story in case you don't know it. We're going back to 1988, the Seoul Olympic Games. I'm living in Bayview Street, Runaway Bay, and it just so happened that our very next door neighbour on one of the canals that we lived on there was this guy, Grant Davies, and he was a kayaker. And he got to represent Australia at the Olympic Games. And you imagine, like, my brother, my identical twin bro and me, we're like 12 years of age and we're just so excited. We've come from Hervey Bay. No Olympians in Hervey Bay, mate. And here we are down on the Gold Coast and our next door neighbour is going to the Olympic Games. So we looked up to Grant Davies like you wouldn't believe. And when he went off to the Olympics, of course, we were heavily cheering for him. And he gets into the final of the kayaks. And not only does he get into the final, but he's a TSS old boy, which was our school. And we had a rowing camp on and the whole camp stops because an old boy is about to paddle for a gold medal. He paddles his heart out and he crosses the finishing line and he's won the gold medal, which is just amazing. And we're all going off. I remember exactly where I was. Ironically, I was at the Southport Surf Lifesaving Club, which is Grant Davies. It's his actual surf lifesaving club. And Grant has won the gold medal. And for 15 minutes, he celebrated with his dad, Dick, and he celebrated with all of the Olympic family that had gone over there with him. And then they said, you know, it's very close. This is actually really close, this final. And they looked at the photo finish, and they said, hey, Grant, mate, it's actually closer than what we thought. And I know we've told you that you've won the gold medal, mate, but we've got to go and study this photo. And they do go and study the photo. Now, at this stage, Grant has celebrated with his family. He's been told he's going to be presented the gold medal. They come back to him and they say to him, Grant, this is the deal, mate. It's so close. It is so close. We've never done this before in Olympic history. It's so close. We're actually going to present two gold medals. We can't split you guys. And he goes, no, someone had to win. He goes, who won? And they go, look, we think he got you. We think that he just beat you, but it's that close. We're going to present two gold medals. And Grant Davies turns around and says, if he beat me, he beat me. I'll take the silver. Isn't that an amazing story? Actually gives me goosebumps, that. Actually gives me goosebumps. And he took the silver medal when he was offered the gold medal. And that is a great piece of Gold Coast Olympic history there. And that's what sportsmanship's all about, mate. And Grant Davies these days, where is he? He's been patrolling our beaches for many, many years. And if you go down to Main Beach, he's the guy that keeps you safe. He handles the flags down there at Main Beach. Anyway, we've got to wait one more year for our Olympic Games.
You're listening to the Rush Hour Podcast.
On the Today Show this morning, they had on this chick from Bunnings. I'm refusing to call her Karen from Bunnings because I just really despise and resent the fact that the beautiful name Karen is now being hijacked to mean something derogatory. Like, it just all of a sudden, it makes no sense. No one's explained to me yet why Karen, of all names, has been hijacked to mean an entitled tool. But anyway, that's what they're calling. They're actually promoing it on Channel 9 News tonight. They're going, and coming up tonight on 9 News, the Bunnings Karen, whose interview was cut short by Karl Stefanovic. And you're like, when did Karen? Why? I don't get it. But anyway, I'm sort of in mixed emotions even playing this because I think the more airtime you give this chick, the more weight that she gets. Like, she went to Bunnings just as an individual, posted something on her social media, probably to 12 followers who sit around playing video games, and now she's being sort of credited almost as a spokesman for the anti-coronavirus mask wearing, and she's almost getting as much time as the chief health officer. It's like, oh, the chief health officer says that we should all wear masks and we should be self-isolating in the trouble spots like that in Melbourne, but Karen from Bunnings says different. And it's like, who gives a toss what she has to say? Don't give her airtime, but she's just so entertaining that it's hard not to. We're talking about her. If you're not familiar with who we're talking about, it's this chick whose video went viral over the weekend. Have a listen.
We need a medical certificate if you guys aren't wearing a mask.
I actually don't need a medical certificate if you refer to the DH. No, I'm allowed to do this. That's and you're discriminating against me.
Can't stand we're all just trying to be in this together.
All in what together? I actually don't. And you're not authorised by the Australian government to even question me about it.
It's a condition of entry of our forest.
Then that's discrimination, and I can have you sued personally for discriminating against me as a woman.
We're not discriminating against anyone.
You are. It's not. It's an unlawful condition of entry.
How irritating is she? How irritating is she? Even the way she says what annoys me. What? We're all in what together. And I could sue you, she says. Oh, they should have just, I said yesterday, they should have just grabbed a tin of paint and poured it over the top of her or something. She said, look, we got a special way that we store our brooms here in Bunnings. Bend over. Just like, seriously. She's so annoying. So she goes on the Today Show, and then Karl wraps the interview up. I haven't heard this yet, but it's making news this afternoon, so let's have a listen.
I've been a professional psychic, a working psychic, since I was 9 years old. I started psychic readings and for the public from the age of 12 to 13.
I think the issue is you deliberately went into that place. You deliberately went into that place to antagonise workers who are literally just trying to do their bit for the country right now, trying to protect other people from passing on this killer virus, which is what it is. You have and espouse all these weird, wacko beliefs, and unfortunately there are people out there who are going to believe you and who are going to side with you, and that's just irresponsible in the current climate. It's just irresponsible. You know what? I can't even listen to you anymore.
Can
I'm so
just
sorry.
Put it to you, Carl?
I can't even listen to you.
I can't put it to you. You can't listen to me.
Nah.
That my I have a medical exception.
Nah. It's wrong. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. You know, I thought we'd in some way, shape, or form get to a reasonable excuse as to why she was doing that. Otherwise, we wouldn't have got her on in the first place. There's no reasonable explanation.
Oh, good. We shouldn't be giving her a forum. She shouldn't be going on the Today Show. She shouldn't be on the radio. We shouldn't even be playing or talking about her now. She should be insignificant to the whole debate. She's probably a bit cuckoo, let's be honest. Rosalie's called through from Burleigh Waters, 132710, if ever you want to be a part of the show. Hey, Rosalie, you're on the air. What did you want to say?
That girl, you shouldn't talk about her because they're just a waste of breath.
Yeah.
Because everything she put on and said about suing people is not valid because the thing is, because it's a health concern, none of that applies.
Yeah, she's read a bumper sticker or something. She's read something. Bob from Mudjabar, let's see what Bob has to say. What did you want to say, Bob? You're on the air, mate.
Yeah, I was just watching the news on my phone, and apparently Karen from Bunnings, and I know you hate using that term, actually had to call the police because she feels like she's now being invaded by...
There, she's a victim.
Reporters.
She's a victim.
Yeah, reporters going to a house and them trespassing on her property.
She's one of these chicks, Bob, who's just so aware of every right that she has. She knows all of her rights. She doesn't give a toss about her responsibilities to society. She's just all about her rights. She's so irritating. And I mentioned yesterday, I can't believe she got a boyfriend. How did she get a boyfriend, that poor bloke? Oh, he must just be like, he must hate himself, that dude. Imagine putting up with
him. Well, he obviously isn't doing his job right then if she's got that attitude.
Good on you, Bob. Appreciate your call, mate.
You're listening to the Rush Hour Podcast.
Who would want to run a major sporting competition when you've got to deal with players that are just so unpredictable? So we know what's going on here in Australia with the NRL and the AFL and the lengths that they're going to protect their game and keep everyone COVID-free. Well, they're going through a similar thing in the NBA, in the National Basketball Association in the United States. Now, this competition's obviously worth billions of dollars. They want to get the games rolling with no crowds. And we've got to credit Australia because a lot of these world sports are looking towards what we've done in the NRL and the AFL and using that as a template for how they can run their codes. And that's what the NBA is doing. They're going to have a hub like what we've got here on the Gold Coast for the AFL. They've got a hub and it's in Orlando, and that is where all of the NBA teams are. And they're quarantined. They're cut off from the rest of society. They can't see their family. They can't see the public, obviously. And they're just training within their own teams, trying to keep everyone safe and quarantined. So what happened was there's one player. His name is Lou Williams. He plays for the LA Clippers. And Lou had a family death. His grandmother passed away. And he went to the NBA and he said, "Hey, listen, Granny's passed away. She's got a funeral. Can I go and have an exemption?" And they said, "That sounds fair enough. You go to your granny's funeral." So he flies up north and goes to the grandma's funeral. That's all fine. What happened, and we've actually wheeled a piece of technology here into the studio. It's called the BS meter. This detects any BS. We're just going to wheel it up because what happened was later that night after Granny's funeral, old Lou was spotted out and about, and he was spotted getting something to eat. He decided he needed chicken wings, so he went somewhere to get chicken wings. Where would you go to get chicken wings? If you're hungry after Granny's funeral, where would you go to get chicken wings? Because Lou went to a strip club, and... Yep. He said he was hungry, and this particular strip club sells really good chicken wings. And so he's gone and he's been photographed. Of course, everything goes on social media, and patrons are at the strip club, and they go, "Hey, isn't that famous basketballer Lou Williams eating chicken wings and having a drink at the strippers?" And Lou has put his defense forward, saying, "No, I did. Yeah, I did have a drink, right? But it was only while I was waiting for my chicken wings." And we just want to put that excuse through the BS meter. Was Lou seriously just going to the strippers to get? Was Lou seriously just going to the strippers to get the chicken wings, or was he having a night out? Let's see if the BS meter detects any BS. Yeah. BS, mate. That's total BS. Mate, you think about how many excuses blokes have had to come up with for getting caught at the strippers over the years. This didn't happen to me, but my mate...
Your friend, didn't it?
Mate, you know what? This is no joke. I don't think I've ever been to a strip club here on the Gold. Oh, no, I tell a lie. I did, actually, when I was about 18, but it wasn't even a regular strip club. It was just like a nightclub once just turned into a strip club for one night, and we went, yeah, why not? But I've never been to a strip club here on the Gold Coast. Never, not once. I've been to maybe two strip clubs in my entire life. Both were in Las Vegas, and quite frankly, they weren't even that good. But I've never been to a strip club here on the Gold Coast. But my mates went, and they ran into one of our school teachers at the strip clubs. Nice. We should open the phones up, because it is embarrassing. If you ever go to a strip club, mate, it's just embarrassing to be seen by anybody. It's particularly someone you know. It's embarrassing to see them there. It's embarrassing for you to be seen there. Who have you run into at the strip club? Patrick from Southport's called through. What's your story, Pat?
Look, me and a couple mates have gone to the strippers, had a bit of a night out, ended up there, and we've run into our school PE teacher.
See, that's a tough one to determine who's more embarrassed, you or the teacher. Probably the teacher. Did you go and talk to him?
No, he's done the bolt.
He took the bolt.
dropped the head, done the bolt, never see you seen again.
I'd hate that. That'd be so embarrassing. That's why I wouldn't go. Honestly, I would not go in case someone ever recognised me. I'd just be so embarrassed. James from Parkwood's called through. What's your story, James?
Yes, man. How are you?
Good, mate.
I went to the strip club and saw my son there, and I had a good night, fantastic. Only problem is he goes and tells his mother.
Hang on a second. Slow down, mate. You're at the strippers, and then you see your son. So you go up and talk to your son and tell him you're there?
Yeah, have a good night. Oh, I'm glad to see you. All that sort of stuff. And then he goes home and tells his mother. Oh, that was at the strip club.
Who's your mum? Who's the mum angrier at? Your wife? Who was she angrier at? You or her son?
Oh, I think she was probably both of us.
Yeah, it's got to be you, actually. He's obviously got it from dad. As long as you didn't see your daughter there, I guess.
You're listening to the Rush Hour podcast.
And I'll tell you what, while the other jobbers on the radio here on the Gold Coast are honestly doing the lamest radio you've ever heard of in your life, they're talking about, what did they talk about the other day? Give us a call and tell us what your favourite flavour donut is. And then they did, I think someone told me yesterday, their big phone topic of the day, the big discussion point yesterday was, hey, do you get down when it's raining? Do you get up? do you get down when it's raining? Oh, so lame. What we do is we talk everything Gold Coast. And there was some news today that these speed cameras or these new phone cameras that can detect if you're on your mobile phone while you're driving around the place are now in place as of today, we believe, around Queensland. And we need to know, are they on the Gold Coast at all? And to get to the bottom of it, Gold Coast's finest man in blue, Senior Sergeant Braden Murphy, joining us right now. Braden, welcome to the show, mate. How are you?
Original glaze, Krispy Kreme.
We don't give a toss, mate, on this show. Ring hot tomato, mate. Yeah. And they'll be all intrigued, mate. You'll get the biggest fake laugh of your life, and they'll gallivant all over you. Now, Senior Sergeant, have we got these cameras in place at the moment here on the coast?
Okay, no, we don't have them on the coast. They are in a trial phase in and around Brisbane.
Right.
I think there's one out on the highway at Burpengary.
Right. And they're really good, right? Like they can detect if you're like, so they're almost like a bird's eye view, and they're down south, they've just been catching heaps of people.
So be very careful what you're watching on TikTok, I can tell you right now.
Well, you're
because
trying.
When you get the photo in the mail, your partner might be a little bit disturbed as to what you're actually doing on your phone. One, we are disturbed you're using your phone in the first place.
Mm.
But when he or she gets the photo and they see what you're looking at on your phone,
are you joking? Like, are the camera shots that good that they can detect what you're actually looking at?
No, I'm kidding.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, they are pretty good. Like, it's a fairly clear picture you get.
Right.
And you can see, the phone clearly in the hand or up the face or
wherever. Will we get them here on the coast? So it's a trial period at the moment?
Yeah, no, they'll be trialled all over southeast Queensland. So we will get them on the coast eventually.
Right.
And it'll be one of those situations where, they will be on a road and we just want people to say, get off your phones. Mm. Like, you don't need to be on your phones. You don't need to be updating your Instagram or your Snapchat or whatever these people
Absolutely.
Do.
Absolutely. No, it's a good thing. Hey, just while we've got you, I mean, all the talk the last couple of days, apart from, what your favourite donut is, all the talk's been about these, what they're calling mask holes, these people down in Victoria who have been giving it to either the cops or giving it to the Bunnings staff. Like, let just have a listen to this chick, like going through the checkpoint at one of the southern borders. Have a listen to this.
So where have you come from today?
I don't need to answer your questions. No. Have I committed a crime?
Pardon?
Have I committed a crime? Have I committed a crime? Thank you.
That girl, Brayden, she got waved through by the police down south. What?
Yeah, look, I think the copper at the time, his stupid meter might have been pulled for that day. But, mate, look, to be honest with you, if they try that on, and we've had plenty of people that do the, I don't know what they call themselves, the free-roaming eggplants or something. We have other powers, If that was us, we would have dragged her out for a license check, an RBT, check a vehicle over for defects, because I'm sure that we would have found a defect somewhere. Wouldn't it have been some water in the window washer or something?
Good.
But it's one of those situations. Look, we have thousands and thousands of people coming through our checkpoints every day. The police there are trying to do the best they can.
Be respectful.
That's exactly right.
The bare minimum, be respectful to the law enforcers because they're trying to protect society. I don't understand it. Anyway, you guys are doing a great job. In all honesty, here's to the coppers because you guys are, I didn't realise what you're having to put up with, even if that is just a very small fraction of society, and I know it is. The fact that you've got to put up with that sort of attitude in any measure is unacceptable, and more power to you for keeping you calm when you come across tools like that.
And the frustrating thing is, Luke, is that most of them get their law degree off of Google.
Yeah, right.
Because I'm reading the US Civil Rights Act from 1945, and that applies to me in outback Wurundjeri, on the Gold Coast. We try and keep a straight face. We try and be professional, but sometimes, you can't fix stupid, so you got to lock it up.
Hey, or taser it. Good on you, Senior Sergeant Brayden Murphy. We love your work, my friend. Thank you so much for your time, the Savo.
You're listening to the Rush Hour Podcast.
Bachelor in Paradise on at the moment. Apparently a bit of a controversy last night because Jess got kicked off and she was apparently a hard dud by because the dude that didn't give her the rose, can't believe we're talking about this, but the dude that didn't give her the rose, he gave it to some other chick. Guess what her name was? Kiki. And apparently he already had a relationship going with her, but Jess joins us right now. G'day, Jess. How are you?
Hey, I'm good. How are you?
Where are we talking to you from?
I'm in Melbourne, so I'm in my bedroom.
You're in lockdown, huh?
Yeah, it's not great.
So what have you been doing in the lockdown deal?
I've been doing a lot of drawing, which is a bit strange, but it kind of keeps my mind busy, and that's about it.
Have you gone to any Bunnings down there and talked about the Human Rights Charter from 1948?
No, but maybe I should.
Yeah. What? Because we're up in here in Queensland, Jess, and we're seeing this, the chick that goes to Bunnings from down there in Melbourne, and everyone just thinks she's a complete and utter imbecile. What's everyone...
I haven't seen it. I haven't seen it. I'm in the dark. I'm sorry.
You haven't seen the Bunnings chick The one that she's
no.
What have you been doing? I guess you've been watching The Bachelor. Of course you have, because you were on last yeah. night. So okay, let's get to The Bachelor then. Let's go to what happened last night. They're saying there was a controversy, Jess, because this guy Kieran, the really heavily tattooed bloke, he gave a rose to someone who he already had a bit of a relationship with going. Is that right?
Like it. So him and I had a bit of a thing going on, and then another girl came in who he had sort of planned to meet up with in there and pursue a future relationship with without me knowing anything about it. So it was a bit of a shock.
Now, I've watched a bit of the show, a week or so back, and that guy, Kieran, this might be hard for me to say because I don't know your history with him, but he strikes me as a real douchebag. Now, but apparently girls really like him. Do you like him, Jesse? Because I don't get the attraction.
I don't currently like him. About 7 months ago, I did. And look, I can only explain it from my perspective.
Go on.
But him and I had, you know, really good back and forth banter. We had like the same sense of humor. We sort of bounced off each other, so it was a lot of fun. And it was more of like this best friend thing, with the sexual chemistry involved as well. So for me, that was the attraction.
Right.
Before going on the show, I couldn't get it either. I was like, what are people talking about? This guy looks like a dickhead. But yeah, in person, I promise, there's a little more charisma.
He's got charisma, I get it. And then the other one I was reading about also, the other controversy, Jess, which didn't involve you at all, but it was with regards to one of the male guys there. And apparently he didn't hit it off with any of the contestants, but apparently he was kicking it out with wide with one of the producers of the show. And I'm like, and I'm saying, that makes sense to me. Like, why would you only go on that show and be attracted to the castmate? There's plenty of other people on the island. And I hate it when I watch The Bachelor and all of the girls fall in love with one guy. And I'm like, surely there's a bloke in catering which is attractive. Surely there's a sound
all
guy.
Right.
Go on. Talk
Hang
to
on,
me.
I've got some goss for you, and I haven't told anyone this yet.
Go ahead.
Nobody's seen it.
Go ahead.
So Kieran and I, the person that I was with on the island, we had a date in a bathtub, which is quite a common occurrence on The Bachelor. And during that bathtub, I had a bit of a crush on one of the producers, and I said, Kieran, do you want to get out, and I'll let Stace get in? And Stace is looking at me like I'm an idiot, and he was one of the producers. So trust me. It does happen.
Yeah.
It does happen. We do get crushes on producers, for sure.
I can imagine. Of course, that's a natural thing for it. It just seems absurd how everyone falls in love with the one guy or the one girl or whatever. Hey, Jess, stay safe down there in Melbourne. And honestly, go and Google this Bunnings chick. She's an absolute...
I will.
She's a douchebag. I think she'd be good for... you know, hey, you know what, Jess, to wrap this up nicely, I think she'd be perfect for that Kieran bloke, all right? Maybe you can help set
her up.
Sounds
like a match made in heaven.
Hey, good on you, Jess. Thanks for your time, the Savo. We appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
There she goes, Jess, from Bachelor in Paradise. Real quickly, I'm just going to go around the room. A few of the guys in here. Did I bluff my way through that, having never seen any of the episodes? Did I bluff my way through it, guys? Yes or no?
Yeah.
You're listening to the Rush Hour Podcast.
Before we rack off out of here, yesterday we had a bit of fun with the top 100 salaries in the NRL, and we either dinged them or buzzed them, depending on if we thought that the players were worth the salaries that they were getting. And for the most part, at the Gold Coast Titans, I think we thought every one of their players was overpaid. Every one of them was overpaid.
All of them.
We've got Brixie producer Jeremy in here. We're going to run the rule now. They've revealed the coaches' salaries. We're going to start at the bottom, which is Justin Holbrook. Now, here's a good question for you. Who earns more, Justin Holbrook, the Gold Coast Titans coach, or the Prime Minister of Australia, ScoMo? Who earns more? What do you say, Brixie? You know a lot.
I'd say Justin would earn more than the Prime Minister.
Justin Holbrook, the Gold Coast Titans coach, earns about 50 grand more a year than the guy that runs Australia.
Correct. It's about 350,000 for the salary. Well,
in that case, he earns a lot more, because Justin Holbrook from the Gold Coast Titans is on $575,000 a year.
Yeah, the PM earns a lot less than that to run the country.
Here's the question. Is Justin Holbrook worth $575,000 a year?
Yes.
You say he is?
I say he is.
No way.
Oh, no way. Buzz me out.
No, I think he's got a plan.
Unproven.
I think he's got a plan.
Well, buzz us out, thank you very much. 575,000. You've got to be joking. Okay, Paul McGregor, who is the coach of the St. George Dragons, is on 600 grand a year. Dez Hasler, who's he coaching? Manly?
Manly.
700 grand a year?
No.
Why do you say no?
Look at the results at the bottom of the table.
Manly's doing all right, mate. Nah. They're going all right.
I'd expect better for
Here's one for you. Anthony Seibold, the goal... Anthony Seibold, the Brisbane Broncos coach, is on 850 grand a year. You got to be joking.
Is he on $800,000 a win at the moment?
Well, he wouldn't have been paid.
is that legal? He's not stealing that, is he?
He's on 850 grand a year. That's ridiculous. Like, who was bidding against him? Surely you could have got him for a couple of meals at the Carvery at the Broncos. Ricky Stewart's on 875 at Canberra. He seems to do a good job.
Yep.
Paul Green's on 900 grand a year at the Cowboys.
Not anymore. Yeah, not
okay, here we go. Wayne Bennett's on 1.1 million a year at South Sydney.
The master.
That's a no from me.
He's a master.
Look at what he's doing. He's not. And Craig Bellamy's on the highest paid coach. He's on 1.4 million a year.
Yeah.
You could double it and he'd still be worth it. He seems to get results with regardless who's out on the paddock. Thank you, boys. We appreciate it. And thank you for your company, the Savo. We'll be back tomorrow afternoon from 3 for your local drive home. Cop you then. Bye.
You're listening to the Rush Hour Podcast.